came home at 5:30 in the morning, more than intoxicated, let me just share. And there was my wife waiting for me. And to my surprise, not to hers, she told me she was leaving me. And she was crying and said, you know, I can't stay and watch what's going to happen to you. I have to leave. So I got angry. Like I said, look around you. Who do you think did all this? How dare you speak to me this way? And I told her to F off and I went to bed.
Hey there. Welcome back. I'm Karen Hall, your host of the Hero Within podcast. I'm passionate about sharing inspiring true stories of unsung heroes who've overcome some of life's most challenging adversities. Come along with me and learn how you too can find hope and healing to return to love. Hello, how are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for doing this.
I appreciate you being here today.
Of course. This is an honor. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, it was wonderful to interview you at the Podcast Power Summit. And so I just appreciate you continuing on this conversation today.
Thank you.
I definitely did not have enough time with you when we had the Podcast Summit. And David Meltzer, who was the CEO of the Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment Agency. He also has a TV show called The 2-Minute Drill. And
Office Hours, and we have Elevator Pitch with Entrepreneur Magazine. We tons of different content just to help people.
Yes, and he has a podcast, The Playbook. And so he is, what drives him that is so interesting is his desire to empower others to be happy. And so he provides all of this content, all of this education to help elevate other people. And I just am so touched by your energy of giving. And so I really appreciate you being here today, David. And thank you for joining the Hero Within podcast, because our podcast focuses on people that are navigating adversity and trying to find hope and healing. And I can't think of anything that would be more influential than to talk to someone like you who has gone through adversity, who has found hope and healing. And so I would like to have you tell, for those who didn't get to hear you on the podcast summit, if you could tell us about your story.
Of course. Well, first, I like to define happiness, because a lot of people ask me about joy, happiness, et cetera. And what I'm trying to do with my story, my journey, and the lessons that I've learned is to help people to enjoy the things that they have to learn to enjoy. Maybe things that they don't like or don't love, or things that seem at first to be punishment that is actually elevating them into some sort of promotion, protection, even love. And so my definition of happiness is to teach people to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit, pursuit of their own potential, their own truth. And I think today there's a huge energy gap between wanting what other people want for you, wanting to be what you want people to think you are. And I want people to truly enjoy that consistent, persistent pursuit. And so my journey is one in which taught me the idea of happiness and how to teach others to live in this world of happiness, utilizing values like gratitude to give us a perspective of happiness, empathy to give us ease through forgiveness, and accountability to give us control, to learn lessons from not only being responsible, but looking at how we attracted certain things into our life, or even maybe just how are we participating in a perception. And then finally, not only is it the wisdom that we gain through gratitude, empathy, and accountability, but the faith that's required to be protected, promoted, and loved, the faith that's required to live in spirit, to live and effectively communicate through your source to other people. And so the way that I describe my journey is that I was born into the world of not enough. I had a wonderful mom, 5 siblings. My mom was single and raised 6 children, 5 boys and 1 girl on her own. worked two jobs. One as a second grade teacher, packed our dinner into paper bags and drove us around in a station wagon and filled up turnstiles at convenience stores, filling up greeting cards just so we could eat. And in that world of scarcity, of not enough, I took on a perspective of why me, punishment, always looking at what other people had or what other people thought of me, a fear of poverty, a fear of other people's opinion, a fear of missing out. And so I wanted to rectify the only burden that God had placed upon me, which was financial burden, because I was born into an incredible family with incredible mindset and heart set and handset. I learned work ethic and I learned about giving and family.
And yeah.
And yet I wasn't happy because I was looking for the wrong things to make me happy. Even though that all, I've met the richest people on earth, as you know, running the most notable sports agency. You're around billionaires and millionaires and celebrities, athletes, and entertainers. And it's funny because they all have so much financial wealth, but they didn't have and don't have what I had that I was born into, but I didn't have the perspective to see it. And so I was driven to make money. I wanted to cure what I saw as the only shortage or lack or void in my life. And I wanted to buy my mom anything she wanted, but especially a home, because we lived in a two-bedroom apartment in Akron, Ohio with six kids and a single mom. And the only time my mom would be unhappy was a financial stress. You know, car would break down, not enough money for food, wanted to send us to a summer camp and wasn't capable of it. And I catch her crying and it still hurts me. So
right.
I wanted to be rich and I learned to use what my mom taught me for the purpose, the intentionality to be wealthy so I could buy her that house. And I worked really hard and I went to Tulane Law School in New Orleans because they had the leading oil and gas program and oil and gas litigators made the most money. And I got offered a job for $150,000 a year in 1992 plus bonus, but to be an oil and gas litigator, but I also got offered a job in the internet in 1992. And now my mom told me not to take the job in the internet, that the internet wasn't going to last. It was a fad. It was not going to, people couldn't do research on the computer. They would need books and nobody would ever put a credit card in a computer. She was with the majority, by the way, as we saw with AI years ago and with blockchain and crypto, a lot of people don't understand it. So they immediately just pass it off as fad. But anyway, I took the lesson that just because someone loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice, especially if they don't know anything about it, like the internet. So I took the job in the internet 9 months out of law school in 1993. I made my first $1 million and I bought my mom a house and a car. And ironically, I moved from the world of not enough to a world of just enough for me. People mistook my optimism when I said everything happens for me, everything for me. There's nothing negative in my life anymore. Everything's happening for me. And I went through a journey from the time I was 25 years old till 35, 10 years of raising hundreds of millions of dollars, making hundreds of millions of dollars, running Samsung's data division when I was merely 31 years old, and then moving to run the most notable sports agency in the world. Not only did I have everything I ever dreamed of, my dream girl I married from the fourth grade, my dream house, my dream life, but I had access to what billionaires couldn't even afford to have access because I ran the sports agency. But yet I learned that this world of just enough was also a scarce world, that happiness was not bought, that money could not buy the happiness that I thought was missing. It just allows you to shop. And I had to learn to shop for the right things, for the right reasons in order to be happy. And so, as always, the universe or God or your source, whatever you believe in, I believe in something bigger than me that loves me more than my mom. brought me an opportunity and I went bankrupt. I lost everything. And through this experience, my wife, my mom, my best friend, and my dad, who ironically I hated because they were the only four people that loved me enough to tell me the truth. Everybody mm-hmm. else just played to give and to get from me, not to take care of me. And ironically, I realized that I don't hate my mom or my dad or my best friend or my wife. I hated myself. Mm-hmm. And the lesson through gratitude and empathy and accountability and inspiration, effective communication, I was going to build a new life with the skills, knowledge, and desire that was empowered with me, with the education I had and the influence of my mom and especially my wife to live to be who I could be. I had the desire, but they straightened me out. And now 17 years later, I'm on a journey. I've made back more money than I ever dreamed of. I help more people and have more fun. I now am on a journey to empower others with the lessons that I learned so that they don't have to pay the dummy tax. You know, you and I live in California and we travel and, you know, all these people from Florida and Texas, you know, they talk about the taxes in California. And I said, whoa, 12%, that's a weather tax. You know, well worth it. Look outside today, right, Karen? Look outside today. Well worth 12% for that. But you want to really don't pay the dummy tax because that'll cost you 100% of everything you ever make or ever will make. And so that mentorship, those lessons are extremely valuable. You can move back to California now. Just read my books, listen to our audio and our videos and our shows. I'll pay the dummy tax for you. You can move back and afford the 12% weather tax that we charge out here.
Well, so I want to go back just a little bit more because you shared with me, and I would love to have you share again when you had hit rock bottom, and you and I remember you said that was one of your greatest fears, coming from that world of not enough to then having enough, and your fear of losing it, and then when you did, you know how you had kind of gotten off track in your life, and can you tell us a little bit more about that part of your story and about your wife?
Yeah. And it's looking back, I still get emotional because when you're lost, you don't know it.
Yeah.
And you don't listen to the people that know you best and that really want to help you. So I got to a point where, like I told you, I hated my father. I hated my mother. I hated my best friend. Because they told me the truth. They said I was lost and they were worried about me, that I was going to die, that I was surrounding myself, quote unquote, with the wrong people and the wrong ideas. And the last and final draw was I lied to my wife. I went to the Grammy Awards with a famous rapper named Little John who was winning some awards. And my wife told me she didn't want me to go. She said I wasn't paying attention to my work or my family, but especially I was partying too much. And she was worried that I wasn't going to live. And so I lied to her and I went to this great party up in Beverly Hills at the Grammys. Came home at 5:30 in the morning, more than intoxicated, let me just share. And there was my wife waiting for me. And to my surprise, not to hers, she told me she was leaving me, told me she wasn't happy. She told me that I better take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, or I was going to end up dead. And I had three daughters under 10, beautiful, healthy. I'm married to my dream girl. And she was crying and said, you know, I can't stay and watch what's going to happen to you. I have to leave. So I went to sleep. I got angry like I did at my dad and my mom and my best friend when they told me the truth. And I told her, I remember running in a circle. I said, look around you. Who do you think did all this? How dare you speak to me this way? And I told her to F off. And I went to bed in one of the seven rooms in my Rancho Santa Fe home. I woke up in the morning even more angry, just full of hate. Yeah. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm going to show them. I'm going to take everything away from them. Because in my mind, money bought happiness and love. So if I could take away everything monetarily, they wouldn't be happy. And then I looked over in a closet and there it was, this jacket that my dad had given me years before, 6 years to be exact, for my 30th birthday. And he gave me a jacket with no pockets to remind me that you couldn't take anything with you when you died. He also told me I was just like him and that money did not buy happiness, and he wishes he didn't make that mistake and he didn't want me to make that mistake. I remember telling him, I am nothing like you. I hate you. You're a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, overseller. F you. I never want to speak to you again. And here I was, and I looked at that jacket and I realized I don't hate my dad. I don't hate my mom. I certainly don't hate my best friend, and especially my wife, my dream girl. And so I started to cry and I said to myself, I hate myself. Yeah. I hate myself because I am, or was at that time, a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, an overseller, a back-end seller. And I took stock in who I was. And I was blessed. I went to my wife and begged her to stay with me. And then to show you how enlightened, my wife is absolutely stunning on the outside, but it pales in comparison to who she is on the inside. And to prove that, she said to me, I will stay. And all I ask is that you try to change. She didn't say, if I catch you drinking again, you know, I'm going to leave you. She didn't say, if I catch you lying, I'm going to leave you. She said, I know you and I love you. And as long as you try every day, I'll stay. And here I am 18 years later. And she saved my life. All of them did, but especially my wife. And I tried every day to be who I wanted to be. And I'm pretty close today after 18 years, 365, sometimes 366 days a year. And now I'm so blessed that I can teach other people through humility, vulnerability, wisdom, and faith to shorten the amount of distance of resistance that we create in our own life. I'd created a tremendous amount. As you know, losing over $100 million is humbling by itself, which leads to one of my favorite quotes, by the way. You're either humble or you're about to be. And I remind myself sometimes, because my life is so awesome and I am human. And when I spend minutes and moments outside of humility, I will remind myself, and if not, my wife will, you're either humble or you're about to be. And I live my life with wisdom and faith to shorten that distance and to give my life to everyone else the best that I can. And it's these opportunities to speak with people like you that allow me to have a platform to share and to empower more people. And to that end, I wanted to offer the entire community, as I did before, my book for free. I will sign it. I will send it to you. I will pay for shipping and the book. David@dmeltzer.com is my email, David@dmeltzer.com. And hopefully my book will be a good guide to the lessons I've learned and hopefully help people get to where they want to be or better, not where I want them to be, but where they want to be or better.
You know, you give so much hope to people that are struggling, wanting to be happy. They're searching, they're chasing that elusive dollar and I'll be happy when, I'll be happy if, you know, kind of thing. And for you to take stock and for your wife to have the courage that she did and, you know, to follow the spiritual promptings that she felt and then to give you another chance. I am so touched by her faith in you and by your determination to be a better man, because she was a huge motivator, you know, in life.
Still is, by the way.
And still is. And so I am so touched by that. And I know that our listeners are going to be so touched by that. Thank you for your humility to share such a vulnerable story that I believe will motivate others to want to be better, that will motivate others to want to follow your example, to be, you know, the kind of person that gives. You're so giving and you're so generous to want to bless other people's lives. And that energy just came through so strong. And I have reflected so often, and I've told so many people about the conversation that we had. And I'm so grateful that you are willing to even go deeper, you know, in that moment, so that we could be there with you and we could feel that hope that she gave you, that you could be better. She had faith in you. And so did your mother and your father and your best friend. And then you had faith in yourself and you took those steps to make those changes. That took so much courage to make those changes and then to propel you forward. And the ways that you forgave, you know, not only the, you know, the feelings that you had towards your dad, but even to forgive yourself.
Remember what they say, behind every great man is an amazing woman. But I'll also add, usually she's amazed as well. let me just tell you, see, I think that's one of the greatest blessings. Forgiveness is key. And you are the queen of empathy. So you understand the power of forgiveness.
Yes. And like you said, for you to be shown forgiveness and then, you know, to have that journey to forgive yourself, and then you were able to forgive others as well. That is such a beautiful, beautiful example. And I just commend you, and I appreciate so much, and I appreciate your values and your love for your family and your three daughters. And
I have a son too by then. The biggest miracle of my life, who came later in our marriage, so I'm blessed to have a son as well, who, by the way, I used to, before I did videos, I called him the best mistake of my life. I said, because I was 42 years old and my wife was 42. And so he got old enough. He said, "Dad, please, I'm the best miracle of your life, not the best mistake." And so he is the best miracle of my life.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And you've had so many miracles and you provide so many miracles to other people. So thank you so much. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for uplifting me. Thank you for blessing all who hear your story and for all who get to have any interaction, listening to your stories on the podcast or any interacting with you in person. Thank you for your giving heart. And thank you for how you want to bless and empower other people and help them to feel happy, because I feel so happy. I felt so happy with my first interaction with you, and you just bring me joy. I appreciate so much your gift of empathy and the love that you have for other people. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Please reach out, david@dmeltzer.com. Bless everybody. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. And we'll have all his contact information in the show notes so that you can find him and get his free gift. Thank you. That was so beautiful. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
I apologize. I get so emotional, but you just touch my heart because your love is so strong and the love of your wife.
Hopefully we'll see you in person. Thank you.
I look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.